Let's get to the Democratic debate. So as voters are taking stock after part two of the first presidential candidates debate, when another 10 contenders for the White House took the stage in Miami to talk healthcare, immigration, and so much more.
And let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable to discuss. ABC News political director Rick Klein is in Washington. Hi, Rick.
Hey, great to be with you.
And Univision News anchor Enrique Acevedo joins us from Miami. Hi, Enrique.
Hi.
And let's first just get your quick impressions of last night's debate. Enrique, I'll start with you because you're there in Miami where the debate happened. What's your headline from the debate?
Well, I think that the front runner, Joe Biden, has lost that momentum that he had gained in the previous weeks coming into this debate. And I think there are a couple of names that are breaking through this large contingent. Kamala Harris, the case of Julian Castro, Elizabeth Warren, certainly. And I think Mayor Pete Buttigieg also did a good job through the first two debates.
Okay, so probably the biggest moment in the debate was California Senator Kamala Harris taking former Vice President Joe Biden to task for his record on civil rights. Let's listen to that part of that exchange.
Vice President Biden, do you agree today that you were wrong to oppose busing in America then?
No,
do you agree?
I did not oppose busing in America. What I opposed is busing ordered by the Department of Education. That's what I opposed.
Well,
I
there
did
was
not
a failure of states to integrate public schools in America. I was part of the second class to integrate Berkeley, California public schools almost two decades after Brown v. Board of Education.
Because your city council made that decision. It was a local decision.
So that's where the federal government must step in. That's why we have the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act. That's why we need to pass the Equality Act.
Rick, I did not see that coming. What do you make of that exchange?
Truly striking. It seemed like the rest of the room stood still. The other candidates faded into the background as Kamala Harris prosecuted this case against Joe Biden. And what makes it effective is it's not just a one-off attack. She was able to draw on her own experience, her own life experience, and speak to some of the concerns that many in the Democratic Party have right now. And I think it's beyond saying that Vice President Joe Biden may be a closet racist. She explicitly said, I don't think he is racist. No one's saying that. But it's the age of the ideas and the idea that is broadly held in, among many Democrats, that maybe Biden represents a different generation. Maybe he does not represent the future of the party. And maybe those with a different life experience, including the unprecedented diversity on that debate stage, are the people that should be leading things going forward.
Jeremy, this is why diversity matters, because you see it on stage, not just racial diversity or gender, but also generational points of view. And I think that's why these debates have been so useful for the Democratic Party and for voters, because they're seeing that played out on stage.
It was interesting, though, that even a moment like that, and it was a remarkable moment with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, that right after that happened, Rick, there was a tweet that went out from her campaign of her as a young girl, like it was all planned. Are all these one-liners or even these interactions kind of pre-rehearsed and pre-planned by the candidates?
Not all of them, but this one was. Clearly, they knew exactly what they were doing. They had this in the bank. She had indicated that she might talk to the vice president directly if she had the opportunity to do so. She jumped when the conversation came to race. The question wasn't even directed at her. Yes, this was a coordinated attack on a debate stage designed to capture a moment and designed to exploit and expose a perceived weakness in the front-running candidate.
So, gents, Biden has been leading the field according to polls, and Harris wasn't the only one to attack him directly last night. California Representative Eric Swalwell also called on him to pass the torch to a younger generation. How do you think the Harris moment resonated with voters? Enrique, you go first.
Well, I think he was the first to engage with Vice President Biden, and I think he made an incredibly good point in terms of this generational transition that's happening before our eyes in the Democratic Party. The difference between some of the Democratic hopefuls in terms of age, it's decades. So that shows not just in the issues that they care about and that they're passionate about, priorities in their different campaigns, but also in the way they the sensibility they had to touch on those subjects. So I would say also Spanish was the other big winner in this debate. I'm glad to see the candidates celebrating Spanish, using Spanish. I would just add that it doesn't matter what language they do it in, they have to answer the questions, and not all of them did, despite using Spanish.
Yeah, last night Pete Buttigieg spoke a little bit of Spanish, although he didn't speak Norwegian, which I understand he does speak. Rick, what about Biden, though. He didn't seem like, if they were rehearsing these things, he didn't seem like he had many one-liners or things pre-rehearsed for this debate.
And I'll tell you, that may be the most telling critique that emerged in the aftermath, is that he should have seen this coming. His campaign should have seen this coming. It was not an accident. It was not a surprise, given the news of the last week. And yet, he didn't seem to have an effective response. And his response, substantively, is problematic. He essentially was using a states' rights argument, which, guess what? That's what the segregationists used as well to explain his past opposition for busing, which is on the record. The fact that he even has a position on busing, an issue that hasn't really been in the headlines for 40 years, tells you something. And the fact that he didn't have a response for it now, I think, tells you something else.
So the candidate in second place in the polls before the debate was Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, and he returned last night to his calls for a political revolution. Have a listen.
Nothing will change unless we have the guts to take on Wall Street, the insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the military-industrial complex, and the fossil fuel industry. If we don't have the guts to take them on, we'll continue to have plans, we'll continue to have talk, and the rich will get richer, and everybody else will be struggling.
Enrique, if we just wound back 4 years, this would have been quite revolutionary in terms of policy for the Democrats. But it sounded like a lot of other candidates had similar policies to Bernie Sanders.
And that's a great point. Credit where credit is due. All of the other candidates are talking about these issues because Bernie brought them up 4 years ago. He was the first one to talk about, you know, universal health care, about canceling student loan debt. Many of the issues that are now a central focus of the 2020 campaign were brought up by Bernie Sanders. But it seems like the other candidates are doing it better and are connecting with their voters better on this issue. So in a way, it's like, I don't know, Snapchat and Instagram. Instagram took stories and they're doing it better.
You know, when we heard moments like that, I have to say, in the back of my mind was Selina Meyer from Veep saying in her political rally, "It's time to finish the unfinished business of 4 years ago." Rick, I mean, there is a lot of, you know, going back, looking back at 2016 in this campaign so far.
That's how President Trump thinks about the campaign as well. Look, I remember Bernie Sanders saying the same things when I covered his race for Senate 15 years or so ago. He said the same things 40 years ago when he ran for mayor of Burlington, Vermont. I think the country got exposed to that 4 years ago. But he isn't changing. And in fact, I think he is talking to what is a pretty big band of followers still. I don't think the fact that he wasn't a major factor in the exchanges last night is likely to change his polling standing. I think most of his supporters are familiar with him and like what he is saying, even if it doesn't change that much.
Okay, we just have to talk about a little bit of other news this week. Important news. Last night, the House of Representatives passed the Senate's version of a $4.6 billion border bill. President Trump called it a great job done by all. But some Democrats were not happy with it. Here's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Democratic representative, speaking on CNN.
We didn't even bother to negotiate. There are House amendments. We could have negotiated it in. We could have conferenced. We could have tried to get amendments in, to get humanitarian provisions put in, to get consequences for facilities that abuse kids in. And instead, what we're doing is that we're immediately going to just saying yes to what got passed out of the Senate.
Enrique, so there's some unhappiness on the Democratic side here, but this bill was passed very quickly right after that terrible picture of a father and daughter drowned in the Rio Grande River trying to come into the United States. Where do you think we are this week on the issue of immigration?
It seems that for a while now, Jeremy, we've had an important consensus around what people should do, what Congress should do to move forward with a comprehensive solution on immigration. It hasn't happened because of a small minority that has hijacked this debate in Congress, especially in the House. But now I think that consensus is just getting diluted with, you know, people like AOC and others in the Democratic Party pushing for more. And I agree with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I think there are provisions that were missed. This was a missed opportunity because I think there was urgency from both sides to provide a real solution to what's going on, to this emergency at the border. But you know, what worries me is that on the long run, it seems that we're just getting farther and farther away from the possibility of comprehensive immigration reform. If there was consensus not too long ago, now it seems that we're missing that.
Rick, if it's not children suffering, what is it that's going to push the needle on coming to some kind of consensus with immigration and some solutions?
Well, I think this is a nice little test case of how difficult it is to get things done in immigration. This was widely perceived as Nancy Pelosi caving. You could also call it Nancy Pelosi governing, recognizing the urgency on the border, saying, yes, I'm not going to get everything I want, but we need to make sure that the funds get down there to take care of what is a humanitarian crisis and the tragic scenes. And the fact that she gets clipped from her left by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I get it. I see where the politics are, and just like a Republican will get clipped from the right, but this is how messy this issue is, and it's not going to change.
Rick Klein, ABC News political director, and Enrique Acevedo, Univision News anchor. Thanks to both of you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.